good morning and welcome to a soggy Wednesday morning. Yeah, it's pretty much for most of the day, a big chunk of the province is going to see rain, moisture in parts of the province, maybe taper off by lunchtime, but don't expect it to be gone completely. In fact, it's likely going to be tomorrow before we start to see some sunshine and sunshine into the weekend as well. So could get back to getting in the yard, getting in the field if you have been delayed as a result of this, what I would call welcome moisture. Well, we've got a full show today. Lots of different things that we're talking about. Manitoba passed a new law. It's called Debbie's Law when it comes to healthcare. And there are a lot of people advocating that we should be doing this in Saskatchewan. In fact, if we do, it'll save lives. We've got a conversation about that coming up a little bit later on the show. You remember sports journalist John Robertson? I mean, this guy covered the Blue Jays, covered the Expos. In fact, he covered the Saskatchewan Rough Riders back in the Ronnie Lancaster, George Reed days. Well-known sports writer and columnist. He passed away a little over 10 years ago. His daughter, Patricia, who's an acclaimed writer in her own right, has written a book called Media Brat. It's an interesting journey through her life. In fact, one of the chapters, I'll just give you a little tip. One of the chapters, no one wants to sleep with the sports writer's daughter. That'll give you a little insight into this book is basically her life's journey and what it was like growing up under the shadow of her dad, this acclaimed sports writer. In fact, she hated sports herself. So we'll talk to her today on the show a little bit about her book. We've got open lines coming up after 9 and Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener every Wednesday at 11. That's happening this morning as well. All right, let's get going. Here is today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, we have talked about Donald Trump a fair bit on this show. Of course, earlier this month, we saw a newly elected prime minister meet with the U.S. president. And all things considered, it seems as if the meeting went fairly well. In just a couple of weeks, Mark Carney and the premiers will be here in Saskatchewan for the first minister's meeting. And a lot of the discussions that are happening, whether it's the premiers that are meeting today in the north, maybe it's the finance leaders that are meeting in Banff, a lot of it is around trade. A lot of it is around the economy. A lot of it is around strategy and what steps forward look like. Don't forget, we've got to renegotiate our CUSMA agreement as well. That is where my guest comes in. I'm so excited to have Wolfgang Alsner joining us on the show, an empirical legal scholar specializing in international economic law, University of Ottawa. He's the Hyman Soloway Chair in Business and Trade Law, highly published, respected academic with research-based findings on trade law and economic investment. And we're happy to have him joining us from his office in Ottawa. Wolfgang, thank you for joining our show.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you, Evan.
So where would you say Canada stands right now, this moment in time with regard to this trade war that's happening in the world?
Well, I think Canada is in a comparatively lucky place right now, at least when it comes to the United States. As you know, and your listeners will know, the United States has slapped tariffs on much of the world, including a 10% baseline on imports coming from everywhere, and higher tariffs, including on China and several different products, such as auto parts and steel and aluminum. And Canada is in a little bit of a special situation together with Mexico, because we are benefiting from an exception whereby our exports that meet the CUSMA rules of origin, so specific rules related to Canadian, Mexican, and U.S. content, are benefiting from U.S. market access tariff-free. So for now, we got a good deal, but it's not going to stay that way.
Mm-hmm. I've read many of the articles that you've written, including op-eds in the Globe and Mail, for example. And you wrote in one where you said Donald Trump could become the unlikely savior of the trade war. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. Well, it might sound a little bit counterintuitive, but let's remember where we were before Trump came into office. Here we had a Biden administration that was very hostile on trade, especially in relation to trade on China. It put in place tariffs, including on electric vehicles, which Canada matched in 2024. And so we were heading to a place where the world was essentially splintering into two spheres, one sphere dominated by China and one sphere dominated by the United States. And that's, of course, a very dangerous place for global trade because global trade connects all the countries, and it's not about spheres of influence. And so what Donald Trump has done, he has unraveled the entire system, and that creates now opportunities, but of course also many challenges to build something. But I think it's important to come back to the point that the crisis of trade was there before Trump.
Mm-hmm. Wolfgang Alschner is my guest, University of Ottawa, the Hyman Soloway Chair of Business and Trade Law. You know, I've asked so many guests this, but I can't not ask you the question. How do you think Canada is doing in the fight back, if you will, or maybe a response is a better way to put it, to the U.S. tariffs and ultimately the longer game in the trade war?
Well, I think we've done fairly well. I mean, there's some talk about Mexico getting Trump a bit more right than Canada, which has been a bit more muscular in its response, including through counter tariffs. But as I said in the beginning, Mexico and Canada, we are actually in a very similar place, irrespective of our different strategies. And as I said, also, this place is actually not so bad compared to other countries. So Canada, at least in the short term, is even benefiting a little bit from that trade war, notwithstanding certain sectors that are particularly hit hard, like the auto sector. So I think that's a starting point. I think the longer term, we are also, I think, on the right course here, because what Trump has done, he has not only shaken up the international trading system, opening that space to reimagine trade relationships, including with our other close allies, such as the EU, but also he has opened up the conversation within Canada. And I think both in relation to global trade and in relation to internal trade, we've been very complacent. Mm-hmm. And so I think Donald Trump has shaken us out of this complacency and hopefully in the medium to longer term get us to a place where we are standing on our own feet and have a little bit of a lesser reliance on the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the challenge going forward, to at the same time also salvage that relationship. That's maybe something we want to talk about too.
Wolfgang Alschner is my guest, and I knew you'd be a great guest on this topic. I appreciate your perspective. I'm curious, CUSMA is up for renegotiation, and in another one of your articles I saw, you suggested maybe giving Trump the win of a rebrand. Are you talking about the same type of thing that happened as we transitioned from NAFTA to CUSMA in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, the transition from NAFTA to CUSMA currently wasn't really much of a transition. It was, to a large degree, a carbon copy of the earlier deal with some tweaks and adjustments around auto rules of origin in order to shore up more Canadian and American content. But really, we haven't seen a fundamental transformation in that earlier agreement. I think we are now in a very different place. Everybody talks about resiliency. We have to rework our supply chains in order to make sure that these supply chains withstand crisis. We don't want to rely too much on one party. Economic security is very important, in part in relation to China, which has a dominance in certain sectors, including the rare earth industry. So I think in that new talk about renegotiated or reviewed CUSMA, I think there's scope to reimagine that deal and to put it into really the 21st century, addressing some of these economic security concerns. And so I think Mark Carney has the right strategy here to link economics and security issues, and that might then provide Donald Trump also with a face-saving strategy to say, look, Canada is really pulling its weight here on some of these issues, including potentially putting in place restrictions on Chinese investment.
Mm-hmm.
And in return, we are pursuing or we are lowering some of the tariffs that we would otherwise put in place.
There's a couple of things you said there, Wolfgang, that I want to dig into before we run out of time. Wolfgang Alschner is my guest. You, of course, have specialized in international economic law. The question has been asked a few times, is there any leverage that our country, Canada, has when it comes to that CUSMA agreement and holding the U.S. accountable for breaking the agreement? Or were they able to find loopholes where that's just from a law, from a legal standpoint, not possible?
Well, I think we are definitely in the right to say that the United States broke CUSMA. It also broke the rules of the World Trade Organization. And I think it's important to call out these violations. But at the same time, that's not going to get us to a place where we can reset the relationship. So I think we just have to accept to a degree that the United States is not playing by the rules and come to an arrangement where we can create a little bit more trust in that relationship. I think we're not going to go back to where we were, but it is important to outline where we are going to collaborate further in the future and where we might also diverge in our path. And so I think that's what the conversation is going to be about.
One of the other things that you were just talking about is the fact that trade is now becoming a tool for achieving non-economic objectives. The tie of defense, for example, security to economic trade. Is that going to become the new norm? And what does Canada have for leverage in those discussions?
Well, I think it has become a new reality that economics and security are more deeply intertwined. And I think they're both opportunities and they're challenges. They are challenges because Canada hasn't really pulled its weight when it comes to defense spending. But of course, Canada has certain assets, including its ability to defend the Arctic. That could be very important. But of course, the other big advantage that Canada has is that it sits on a lot of minerals and a lot of resources that are needed for future prosperity. And I think that's where Canada does have leverage. But really, as I said before, it's about identifying scope for a renewed partnership, more so than just leverage and where we can sort of get the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
More about what's our value proposition to countries like the U.S., but the world more broadly.
And I think if we can end on this note, Wolfgang, is basically looking at how trade has changed and how international trade has transformed, and we're going through another fairly significant change as well. What are some of those priorities that Canada needs to lean into? We've talked, for example, about investment in infrastructure, but certainly regulation, I'm guessing, is part of it when we look at policy that incentivizes investment in Canada. What are some of the priorities you think the Canadian government, the country needs to look at for the new landscape of trade?
Yeah, I think that's the million-dollar question. And there are lots of things we could talk about, but I'll just mention two here. One is that we have oriented our economy to be very deeply intertwined with the United States. But I think for better or for worse, that's just not going to be the reality of the future. We will still trade a lot with the United States, but we have to figure out better ways to trade with the world. And that means investing into pipelines, investing into infrastructure, investing into niche innovation. Products that the world needs should be made in Canada. So that's one thing. The other big thing is, I think, the auto sector and the broader supply chain around that, including also the EV supply chain, critical raw materials, refining, but also vehicle assembly. The question there is, are we going to be more deeply integrated with the United States in the future? Or if Donald Trump has its way, Canada has to be a little bit more self-sustaining there. So how can we tap into global supply chains in the auto sector? I think that's going to be a big, big question going forward.
Mm-hmm. This has been a great chat, Wolfgang. I really appreciate you giving us some time and hope we can chat again soon.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Wolfgang Alschner, empirical legal scholar specializing in international economic law from the University of Ottawa. You can check out lots of his articles. He's given high-profile lectures and speeches, not just at the university level, but to world leaders as well. And we appreciate having him on the show this morning. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.